All right, you're back in the DFSR here with our NFL podcast for Tuesday, September 26th. I'm Doug Norrie. That is
James Davis.
And we're from DailyFantasySportsRankings.com, DFSR.com for short for all you new listeners. Always time to grab a free 3-day trial to our projection system powered by our good friends over at Lineup Lab. That's free for 3 days, $29.95 a month after that. Includes optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings. NFL, MLB, I'm trying to get all the initials right here. MLB, NBA.
You're doing great, dude.
I'm doing great. NBA in a couple weeks, which is when our prices are going to go up a little bit. So make sure you jump into that free 3-day trial now and lock in that $29.95 price because those prices are going to go up.
You get to keep whatever price. If you sign up now at the $29.95 a month rate, you'll get to keep that forever, Doug. Mostly because it's a hassle for me to change them all over.
Yeah, so. It's a huge hassle. Sign up, haven't done it yet.
sign up now. You get to keep your subscription at $29.95 for the foreseeable future. So yeah, new listeners, nude listeners, anyone who's listening really in any capacity, we'll take your money. So come on over to DFSR and hook us up.
Crazy week three in the NFL. I started to do my notes this morning, then was able to get sidetracked for 45 minutes looking for the car keys, the family car keys, which but no one else knows. This is very on brand for usually just myself with the Norrie family in general. Just like the wallet's gone, the keys are gone. I guess it's Norrie's on this one, the keys this time. This is after 45 minutes of straight looking and then wondering how you get a new set of keys made for your car. Any guesses? Real quick.
Where they were. I'm going to say right by the door. On a table, or actually picturing your home in your jeans pocket that you left upstairs. That's my final guess.
Nah, much too obvious. We were way in the weeds here. I'd actually looked in the fridge because anything was on the table we've been looking for so long. Bottom of the shoe basket was my wife's fault this time. Usually it's me. Happy to lay the blame at someone else's feet for the missing keys for the first time. 99% of the time, it's me. It's wallet like in the pizza box about to get thrown away, which happened at your house.
You put them between the pizza boxes, wasn't it? Like there was a pizza box and you put your wallet there and then it was on top of it, like right in the recycling on the way out. Like it kind of like a sitcom where like the guy's gonna lose his wallet and the camera zooms out and it's in there and he's just looking around. Pretty amazing.
Yeah, lost my wallet in a couch cushion 3 hours before we left for a 3-week trip to Germany. So it's all happened for
this
guy.
It is kind of like your superpower, but yeah, maybe it's contagious.
All right, week three in the NFL was nuts, man. I want to avoid being the guy that says every week is nuts. I don't think I said this last week, but this week was really something because we probably should have just known. Oh, man, I'm already doing the hyperbole thing. Okay. Well, Thursday night starts off with a game completely off script with the Rams and the Niners. They crush the over by like double, or they crush the over under by double. It's like the best fantasy game of the week by far, kind of. So that happens. And then like it just never stops for the rest of the week. We get Jacksonville completely blows up Baltimore in London. I mean, Baltimore didn't even get off the plane. It didn't look like. And other games like Minnesota blows out Tampa Bay with a backup quarterback. Philly wins on a 61-yard field goal to beat the Giants.
Yeah.
Tate gets tackled at the one, and it looks like the Lions are going to win, and they lose because the clock gets run off. New England needs a miracle to win against Houston at home. Like Brady makes a miracle pass, the only reason they really win that game. The Chicago wins on a long run by Cohen that gets called back, and then Howard just does it on the next play, basically. And then Washington, from 30 yards out, and then Washington crushes Oakland on Sunday night. I'm not trying to like go crazy and say the NFL. The NFL is going to be probably the most volatile sport we have anyway, just in terms of just performance and just things that happen on a week-to-week basis. There's so few games, but this week is really – this week was like even outside of the normal volatile NFL box, right? Like this was –
Sure, Rodgers led Green Bay back to tie it up to go into overtime and win. Yeah, it was back and forth. I mean, it's interesting because when we look at the week from a fantasy perspective, I think it's probably not quite as crazy, but there's so much game script. There were so many game script considerations when teams play such crazy games. It's going to be hard to take away a lot from this week from some of these games that we can learn and apply going forward, because you just don't expect the Ravens to go from shutting teams out to giving up 44 points to Jacksonville, right? Like, so what do you learn from that game besides nothing at all? The Rams in San Francisco, are these good offenses now, or do they play bad defenses, or some combination thereof? There's so much that we can learn a little bit, but there's a lot that we have to take with a big grain of salt.
Yeah, it was really crazy. And this is the week where we usually start bringing in more of current season stats, because the first couple weeks is just it can be so noisy and you really can get complete outliers, which we'll talk about. We'll talk about some of those guys that I see as some of the outlier types who I didn't really change too many of the assumptions on. But you kind of need to sort of pick and choose your spots here moving forward with how you get some defensive multipliers going in there, how you even get some of these yards per carry guys going, because some guys have run bad in terms of in terms of just matchup. Some guys are just completely out of the box in terms of what we can probably expect them going forward. So this is the week where we do start bringing in some of this year's stats and kind of meshing them a little bit with some of our preseason projections to try to find a good, I would call, middle ground in terms of what we can believe on some of these players. And we can get into some of those guys, some of those performances from last week. One thing I wanted to start off with here, we'll start off with some injuries first. Not a ton of injuries come out of week three. There are some ones that maybe do get some conversation going in terms of, who backs up some of these guys. One is Darren Sproles. He's lost for the year for the Eagles. They were already really employing a running back by committee anyway. That didn't seem to change. Do you think Wendell Smallwood probably sees some increase. LeGarrette Blount didn't play and then kind of played last week. Do you think that this changes anything for the Eagles backfield, or they kind of always were just going to go running back by committee and there's just going to be another guy in the committee and they're all kind of just, they all trend toward the middle?
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm leaning more. The Eagles really haven't sustained a consistent fantasy running back since LeSean McCoy left, basically. So given how up and down things have been, there have been weeks where you can get real fantasy production out of the running back position, but by and large, it's just too erratic. Going up against the Chargers, a reasonable matchup, but I think you're just basically closing your eyes and trying to hit the pinata and a GPP there. You're not trying to make any sort of serious cash game play, I wouldn't think.
The other injury, Kelvin Benjamin gets hurt in the first, 4 minutes of the game. He was running a slant route and just got rolled up on the back of his leg. It looked really bad actually when it happened, but I guess there was the MRI revealed no structural damage. Cam and the company have looked bad to begin with. If I were to guess right now, I'd say he doesn't play this week. Now they're going to be without Olsen. They're going to be without Benjamin. I'm not even sure it matters too much. McCaffrey actually is starting to stand out. He was big time in the passing game this week. Do we see, if there's no Benjamin and Olsen, do we just get even more McCaffrey? Funchess was the guy people played as well. I'm just not sure how much we can trust Cam in the passing game, or how much it changes if they were to lose Benjamin also.
Yeah, it seems like the downfield targets from Cam just aren't worth very much at this point. They hadn't been worth that much to Benjamin even before he got injured. Funchess with 10 targets just turns him into 4 catches for 58 yards. Smattering of other dudes got targets, but it didn't really amount to much. I do like the short targets that McCaffrey's getting. I think he's that's a very encouraging sign. The fact that he only got 4 carries is pretty concerning. I get that it was a weird game script with them losing by 21 points, but the fact that Stewart out-carried him 3-1, I think it's somewhat representative of what their plans would be. So if you're going to take McCaffrey, just understand that it's kind of like a Tarik Cohen or Darren Sproles, sort of play where you might just wind up, if the game script doesn't favor him, you might just wind up getting 11 total touches or 10 total touches. And sometimes that doesn't turn into RB1 sort of production, So I don't mind McCaffrey necessarily going up against New England, another game where they could be trailing by a lot, paying 6,400, which is, what you get for sort of a low end RB1. There's not a lot of safety, I guess, involved in that price for me. So just keep an eye on
him. He did see 11 targets in the passing game, converted 9 of them. The kind of routes he runs too are going to be just high conversion routes, right?
Yeah, that was my point. He's not, you can't look at him in the same lens as you look at like Funchess, for instance.
Right, exactly. So interesting to keep an eye on. I just don't, at this point, like I said with Cam, I just don't have a lot of faith. Last week didn't do a lot to change it. And now, if he was going to already struggle with some of the consistency and the accuracy, losing definitely his, his two best receivers, let's just say. I guess we could throw McCaffrey in there too. But, two of his three best just options in the passing game is going to make a guy that was already really struggling with accuracy. It's not going to make him any better. The last piece of news, the one that stood out to me at least, I'm sure there are a couple other little injury tidbits here and there. Doug Baldwin's going for an MRI. He had a huge game, tons of targets. The injury kind of happened very late in the game. What do you think, if they were to play without Baldwin this week, where do we see, because he returns like this double-digit sort of guy that we've been sort of hoping for on a week-to-week basis out of Baldwin. Sure. Where do we see some of those targets going? They mixed in Chris Carson this week, I guess, and, Tyler Lockett, I guess, could see a bump. Do you think the Baldwin thing just hurts Seattle across the board and it makes you, that's just the bigger problem, or do you see someone maybe jump to the front here?
I think Jimmy Graham is actually the guy to look more closely at. Lockett didn't really see any increase last week, but Graham went up to 11 targets, caught 7 of those for 72 yards. That was a very welcome sign after he had just 2 targets the prior week against San Francisco. You're not really getting Graham at that kind of emerging tight end price like you'd like to get, like say 52 to 5,500 on FanDuel, but even at 6,200, I think there is a degree of safety there if Baldwin misses this game, simply because Seattle doesn't have any other possession ball catchers. You know, like the running game doesn't really lend itself to great passes out of the backfield. Obviously, Lockett's more of a downfield receiver than a possession guy. That's really Baldwin's role. And while Baldwin and Graham were sort of splitting votes there, getting Graham alone in that role, I think, could wind up justifying the price. So at a position with anything but certainty, Graham certainly comes on the radar there.
Yeah, they play Sunday night this week. Actually, another thing that emerged this week, and I don't get wonder your take on this if it matters or not. So DraftKings does choose to leave the Sunday night game off the main slate this week. It's not going to be the case for FanDuel. FanDuel keeps the Sunday night game. DraftKings removes the Sunday night game. You know, there's been talk of why this was done. You know, originally on the main slate, it had the Monday game as well. Then they cut that one off and made it only the Sunday night game. And now they're taking off the Sunday game and just making it so it's the 1 o'clock and 4 o'clock games to you. I saw people just sort of, you know, I didn't seem like anyone was happy with it, but I can't tell if people are unhappy because people just don't like change. And, you know, we've seen this 1,000 times in our lives, right? Like something changes. You don't really have any care about whether it's good or bad, except that it's different and that's why you hate it. So I can't tell if people actually don't like it because of that, or if it actually just does cut down on some of the skill to be missing this Sunday night game. I mean, do you have a thought one way or the other? Because I didn't read one positive thing about it, like mostly on Twitter. And this is from, like, you know, top industry guys too. It wasn't just like the horde, the masses of people that get angry about things on Twitter because that's just kind of their job. But sure. I mean, people that are actually guys in the industry, I would say, they seemed unhappy with it as well. And also the rake has gone up 2% this week. That would also...
I'm much more concerned about the rake, frankly. Like the number of games, I think it's foolish to reduce the total number of games people can choose from, especially as we get into bye weeks. You know, struggling to find good players is always a challenge. And oftentimes the best teams play on Sunday night, right? So if we're going to start missing out on like a New England Atlanta matchup or something, you know, like that's going to really dramatically cut down the pool of playable fantasy players. So no, I don't like it, but I guess I don't really care. Increasing the rake, I think, is a much bigger issue because daily fantasy is already really hard. The average person who plays daily fantasy loses, you know, the vast majority of money, I think, does flow into the hands of people who use tools like ours or people who are just professional players already. And I saw this with poker, you know, having played poker professionally for 7 years. When you start to lose those casual players, the games dry up really quickly because what happens is smart people stop playing too when the games stop becoming as good. So I think it's a terrible idea to increase the rake. And I actually think it's a bad sign for the business writ large, because when things are going well, when you're just kind of like increasing your usership and more people are coming on board, you don't try to increase revenues by driving up prices. Raising prices, it tends to be more of a decision that's made when, you know, that's just feels like the only way to increase revenue. And so, yeah, I don't really think it's a great sign, and I'm not psyched about that one bit.
It actually points to it. We're probably getting very lucky that FanDuel and DraftKings merger did not go through, because that's probably the only thing keeping that rake even at the rate that it is. I think that if those two companies were combined right now, I think we would see even a more significant. And by the way, I think the rake it wasn't across the industry. I think the rake, it's like slightly up on the milli. And I don't know about the other parts. I had to look at that up. But I read about it specifically having to do with the Millionaire Maker. It might not be across the board, but it definitely is going up in certain contests. And they are limiting the you know, the schedule a little bit. And it'll be interesting to see if that's experimental or not, or if that's just something that sticks. My guess is it probably sticks. Although one other problem with this is that I wonder how the flex scheduling near the end of the year would affect that when they start moving games around into the primetime areas, because when those things aren't decided right away, I just don't know how that affects how, you know, because contest lock, you know, we've seen this on FanDuel and DraftKings a ton, is that part of their thing is when the contest lock, like, you, not in terms of, you know, at the time when it needs to be set.
Yeah, when the prices go out.
Exactly. When the prices and the schedule go out, it locks. Like, that does not change. So if there's a mistake, the mistake stays. Like, they don't just go about switching mistakes. So it'll be interesting to see how that works out. All right, let's take a look at some of the performances from week 3 and see what, if anything, we can make of them. So, you know, the one thing that stood out to me, and I'm sure we both have stuff here, but one thing that stood out to me the most, I think, from this week was, man, it was a good week to be a bad quarterback, because if you were a quarterback that we've kind of talked about, just everyone's talked about how the quarterback play in the NFL seems to be the haves and the have-nots. The have-nots sure did pretty damn good this week. If you look at the leaderboard, For this week, in terms of quarterback, you know, you get Tom Brady at the top. That's to be expected. But other guys in the top 10, Case Keenum, Jacoby Brissett, Blake Bortles, Brian Hoyer, Jared Goff, Dak gets there like right in the top 10.
Deshaun Watson had a real game.
Yeah, sorry, Deshaun Watson. He's coming super cheap this week. A lot of these guys that had really good performances are coming very cheap this week on FanDuel and DraftKings. Watson is one of them. He's 5,100 on one of the sites. But I'm just wondering, you know, was this week a complete week of outliers for some of these quarterbacks? Some of these guys, can they be believed? You know, do we need to sort of pick and choose our spots? Like I said, a lot of these guys are coming real cheap this week. You know, in the 7,000s, it's in the 7,000s or below on FanDuel, and in the 5,000s on DraftKings. Any of these guys stand out to you as like kind of real going forward, all kind of fluky? I don't know. I gave a list of names, so you can probably pick or choose one or two of them that you want to talk about. But that's what's one thing that stood out, was just these bad quarterbacks having good days.
Yeah, so the way I try to look at this is to understand that quarterback is the least volatile position of all of them, right? So if somebody does have an outlier week or a week that looks really, really good, on one hand, you want to take it more seriously because it's just tougher to run hot as a quarterback. But on the other hand, you also want to trust a one-game performance less because a quarterback's opportunity doesn't tend to change, right? So the quarterback is in there, sure, like there's game script considerations. You know, maybe they pass a little bit more if they're behind, and the team runs a little bit more if they're ahead, depending on the team. But the underlying skill set for a quarterback doesn't really change from one week to the next, and the tools around them can change. So if there's a wide receiver coming back from injury, you know, it's very, very complicated to figure out all the little things that go into it. I would say for this week, almost all the names that you just read off, I would throw into the "I wouldn't consider them good quarterbacks now" category. And that's simply because none of them basically have any track record of doing anything like this in the past. And so if you trust that quarterback is the least volatile position, I think you want to look at the greater track record more so than you would, say, a running back who rises into a 25 carries a game when he used to get 11 carries a game. So take Deshaun Watson, for instance, you know, a guy who had a tremendous game against New England. Is he going to really turn into a guy who completes 66% of his passes, or is he going to be more like the 12 for 23 guy we saw week one? I tend to think that we're going to get more of the bad Deshaun Watson rather than the good one. I think he's interesting just because he runs the ball so much. Like 8 carries last week is a great sign. He did lose 2 fumbles, so that comes with running quarterback as well as having 2 interceptions. But I would take it with a pretty, pretty big grain of salt. I think if you want to try and catch lightning in a bottle for a big tournament, more power to you. I think for cash game purposes, you better hope you pick the right one, because you know that some group of this, like in the Case Keenum, Brian Hoyer, Deshaun Watson, you know, Jameis Winston even, that some of these guys are going to head back to pumpkin territory, and you better really trust your ability to guess which one is which, because otherwise you're going to be left holding a bag at a position where you can generally lock in 20 or 25 fantasy points.
Yeah, it's interesting. So those guys, you know, I'm going to put that group of Keenum, Brissett, Watson, and, well, I was going to say Deshaun Kaiser, but I'm going to leave him off. So those three guys at least have legit wide receiver one / running games at their back, right? Like, well, I guess not Watson, but like, so Case Keenum has one of the probably best wide receivers in Diggs in all of football right now. And then has Adam
Thielen. One of the best wide receivers in all of football, Stephon Diggs?
Oh, I think so. Yeah. I mean, I would say that. And then I think he's moving into that class at least.
I mean, two weeks ago, Diggs had 2 catches on 6 targets for 27 yards.
I'm moving into that class. Maybe I'm overstep my bounds a little bit. I think he's very, very good. And so he has that, you know, Jacoby Brissett is T.Y. Hilton and a couple of weapons there. Like Jack Doyle, I think is not bad. Deshaun Watson is DeAndre Hopkins. The fact that they have a guy out there who actually, at least these guys have pedigree, I think helps them. And also, like you said, the fact that they all run. Keenum ran 6 times. Brissett ran 5 times, also scored 2 touchdowns. That's very lucky. That's not going to happen again, obviously. And then Watson's 8 runs. The fact that you can be worse, but if you're worse and mobile, it does help. It does increase your floor, at least significantly. Or not significantly, enough that you can withstand some bad passing days. So that's where I would put those three guys, at least in a class of, like, I would consider it. The matchups need to be perfect for them, basically. Like, I don't, like, you know, Brissett against Cleveland would strike me as a matchup that I would probably, you know, wouldn't mind going back to, because Cleveland's defense is pretty bad. So, you know, that's the only reason I might take an extra look at something. Like a guy like Watson right now is coming. I looked at it real quick. He's coming only 5,100 on DraftKings this week. That's free, basically. Keenum's 5,000. Not as good of a matchup in Denver.
Deshaun Watson, by the way, over the first 2 weeks, had 227 passing yards. That's 2 weeks worth of passing as the starting quarterback.
Well, no, he didn't start week one. Savage started week one. He came in off the bench, and then the second week. So he had
23 pass attempts in the first week, turned those into 102 passing yards. So you figure in an average week, he gets maybe seven more. All I'm saying is, the running is there. I guess for me, it's more you're talking about the floor that the rushing increases. I think that's true on some level, but I think it's really the ceiling that I would be interested in on these guys because, you know, given that he does have 108 rushing yards over the last 2 weeks, if you can pencil him in to start with 5 points, like that's pretty nice on a $5,100 salary. I get what you're saying. I just think, I don't know, still seems pretty damn risky.
I think we're going to see that as they're going to be going at least on DraftKings this week. You're going to be given this choice where Watson, Taylor, Keenum, Kaiser, and a couple other guys are all falling in this like $5,000 range, very cheap, and it allows you to get, if you wanted to go this way, it's going to allow you to basically pay up at every other position. So, and I think that some of their performances are going to make it so that people are more inclined to, you know, more inclined to play these guys at these prices this week than they were last week, just because they're all coming off of fantasy days where, you know, they definitely won you money if you started them in sort of in any fashion. So the weird quarterback play definitely stood out to me this week. Anything stand out to you coming out of week three?
Before we move on, let's talk about NoHalftime.com. A great weekend on NoHalftime for me, picking out some of those key matchups, you know, choosing one guy v another guy and getting there eventually very painstakingly. But NoHalftime is a really cool app for people who want to play one-on-one daily fantasy contests. So without worrying about the salary cap restrictions or trying to flesh out a whole roster, it's very simple. You go there, you can surf through challenges. If you see a challenge listed where you think you can get the better side of it, say Tom Brady versus Aaron Rodgers or something like that, you can just click accept. The game starts. If you want to come up with your own challenges, you can do that too. So you can go pretty deep on this using our tools, you know, putting out challenges that might go against the public perception of things and go from there. So NoHalftime.com is a great place to do that. You can use promo code DFSR to get a 50% bonus up to $50 on your first deposit. So check them out. NoHalftime.com, promo code DFSR. Yeah, I think there's a lot to look at for this week, actually. You know, one of the overall trends that I like to look at from week to week is just how teams are passing versus how teams are running. You know, because oftentimes we're trying to figure out how to apportion our big money dollars in particular, but just our salaries across the board. So this week we had 13 wide receivers with 100 or more receiving yards, and we had just 5 people carry the ball for 100 yards or more. I thought this was particularly interesting because, you know, running back has this reputation, and this has changed over the years, but it has a reputation of being the safer position. But just 500 yard rushers, and not probably the names that some people would guess: Jordan Howard, DeMarco Murray, Todd Gurley, Devontae Freeman, and then Dalvin Cook had 97. And then you can go up and down the wide receiver list, and you just get, I mean, you get some kind of well known chalk sort of guys, but you also get some, you know, the unexpected big upside guys like Sammy Watkins. What's your take in terms of the NFL right now in terms of distribution across passing and running? Because it seems to me that wide receiver safety, you can get a lot cheaper than running back safety. And that to me raises, like, it means running back safety is at a much higher premium to me. I'm willing to pay more for it, I guess.
Yeah, no, I would say those running back numbers even look worse than they do on paper, because Kareem Hunt had 172, but he needed like a 65 yard run at the end. Like, he was right at the 100 yard mark or something like that. And then it was like garbage time, broke off a huge run to end that game. DeMarco Murray's 115 yards, like 80 of them came on one run. I'm pretty sure he had an 80 yard touchdown run. So like, I would almost like knock those two off, and just because they, I would say, outlier-ish runs. Now, of course, it can happen.
It's, well, they didn't really have opportunity that you can count on. Like, Murray had 15 touches. You're not going to roll him out there as a 15-touch guy with any sort of safety, you know, feelings for cash games, right?
Well, that's what I mean. And so, like, I would actually, yeah, I would like that, knock that list down to just 4 guys. I'll leave Hunt on because, like, I think that, again, his opportunity, that guy's so weird, man. He's averaging, like, 10 yards a carry, so like 8.5 yards a carry this year. Just breaks off these long runs every time. But I do think the opportunity is going to be there in between these long runs. So I think the list there is basically Hunt, Howard, Gurley, and Freeman. And after that, yeah, I'm with you. The wide receiver play, you know, we saw it as I went through every single game yesterday and looked at the snaps and the targets for wide receivers. And the guys that we expected, the guys that we started the year expecting to get pretty heavy target are just getting those targets. I would say pretty much across the board. It's not 100%. There are some guys that, you know, we have been a little bit disappointing. But by and large, the guys who are on the same teams, who are working basically with the same quarterbacks and they're coming off huge target share kind of years, are just still doing that exact same thing. And I think you just cannot say the same for the running backs. I'm 100% with you. These guys, I hate to like use this blanket statement, it can't be trusted, but you really can't trust it. Like, you know, how many more weeks of Le'Veon Bell getting 20, even 25 carries or something like that and just not getting there, right? Like Todd Gurley, he had 113 yards. That guy needs to touch the ball 30 times to get 100 combined total yards over the course of the week.
Well, 100%. I think that actually kind of raises the stock of guys like Dalvin Cook to me. Cook being both young, which is really nice. You know, running backs put miles on really quickly. And if you can get Cook at, you know, relatively cheap prices, and he's going to touch the ball 32 times in a game. And he had, almost, 169 total yards. His stock has gone up to me. Carlos Hyde, we're seeing continued opportunity from. So I'm appreciating that. Frank Gore had a lot of opportunity, generally sucked because he's on a bad team. Jordan
also
Howard
sucks, yeah, but
well, yeah, and he's bad too. But you know, these are the kinds of names we're going to have to consider if we want touch upside right now, because the big names, the names that people expected coming into the season, David Johnson's hurt. Bell hasn't been good. You know, at some point you have to stop paying $9,000 for a guy who can't get 100 yards in a game. And then otherwise, it's just a bunch of unknown situations, guys. You know, are middling in terms of your ability to trust them. And that to me is the big story coming into this week. Like, where am I going to find my running back safety? Because, you know, we went with Anderson last week. He was bad. Maybe you take Ezekiel Elliott. Maybe he's just a better play than Bell, just because he's been doing it just a little bit more. It's a little bit cheaper, much better matchup against the Rams than Bell has against Baltimore. But I don't know. All in all, I'm feeling very, very uneasy in the running back department. And it's not a good feeling, because I just know I'm going to be looking at paying like $7,000 to $8,000 for somebody who's got at least one terrible week so far this year.
Well, right. And so, and that, this is actually, because I started making the list to write up some of our cash game plays coming out of the system today. And this is the part that just didn't look good on paper just to start, right? Was some of these running back situations. Yeah. You know, we're going to get into this more on Thursday when we talk this, and we'll talk obviously in our game by game breakdown at the end of the week. But, you know, if we're looking for home favorites running backs that are safe, there's like none this week. There's Devontae Freeman, basically. You can't trust anything on New England. I'm just looking at the teams that are like big time favorite, like favorable running situations. You can't trust anything in New England. You basically get Devontae Freeman and Zeke, and that's it. because, you know, Arizona's a big favorite. You get Seattle, maybe see Chris Carson, who's a guy we can mention, but you see him maybe jump out, but that's on the Monday night game, or that's the Sunday night game, as we mentioned. Kareem Hunt is in that situation. He plays on Monday night, so he's not going to be in the main slate. So, yeah, running back was the hardest position I was finding to just like draw out some of the value. And it's going to be weird where it leaves us. I'm actually one of these guys, a guy that we did see increased opportunity for this week, and it does seem like it might be the plan going forward. I wonder your thoughts when we look at a guy like Joe Mixon. So Joe Mixon, it was said before the game, was going to take a more increased role in the running game, taking over possibly completely for Hill and Bernard. He did win the snap count war and he won the carries war. It wasn't overwhelming. He gets Cleveland. Is this a guy, like, you know, if we're starting to look for cheap, possibly running backs that we can trust, would he fit a place where you might want to go so we could pay up for some of these more expensive wide receivers?
I guess I would have to see how the lineup looked after the fact. I'd be pretty concerned. I mean, a lesson we learn time and time again in the NFL is it's really hard to trust 1 week's worth of opportunity if there's no injury that causes it, right? And so in this case, it was kind of the coach's whim thing. The fact that they still have their two-headed monster in Jeremy Hill and Giovanni Bernard there, and then, you know, Mixon kind of came out and kind of took the job last week, It just strikes me as a situation that might not be there forever. And the fact that Mixon didn't really do a whole lot. You know, he had 18 carries for 62 yards. He was, you know, effective on the three catches he had for 39 yards, and that's all well and good. But even in a great matchup here with Cleveland, the yards per carry on Mixon are really bad so far this season, and I could see him disappearing as quickly as he's, I guess, come, if you even want to consider him having arrived, you know. So I don't feel great about Mixon, though. I think I would want to start by looking somewhere else. And if, you know, I had to grudgingly accept him, maybe I could tolerate it. But it's too early for me in the week to kind of saddle that up, because it's just not an exciting prospect whatsoever.
No, I'm with you. But this is kind of where we're left here. The running back, just the running back game, is a very difficult one to, it's just very difficult to wade through. I think right now it's a lot of these guys they just don't really do anything with their carries, and they just need to get, you just need to look, find these extreme volume guys. And then you just need to hope that the volume's there. And before we get out of here, anything else that stood out to you from week three?
Yeah, I got some more stuff. I did want to bring up CJ Anderson just before we moved on, because he looked for all the world like a guy who was locked into great a great situation and then went out and had 10 touches because all of a sudden Jamal Charles, it was like his renaissance for whatever reason. I don't know that you want to trust Jamal Charles for cash game purposes at all, but maybe an interesting GPP play if you think that he's kind of Wally Pip Anderson, even though Anderson didn't get injured here. I did want to talk a little bit about the wide receivers because I think we saw some guys rise to prominence or, you know, continue to maintain their prominence or return to prominence. Just a lot of guys put up some big games this week that I wanted to chat about. So the first one is our old pal Larry Fitzgerald after jamming him for the first 2 weeks and being completely disappointed. Fitzgerald basically takes Jarvis Landry's line from the prior week after Landry decided to disappoint us. Gives 13 catches on 15 targets for 149 and a touch. Larry Fitzgerald going, you know, he was already very chalky for several weeks earlier this season. Do you think Larry Fitzgerald is one of the higher owned receivers on the main slate this week?
Yeah, he might be. Are they on the main slate? They might not be on the main slate this week.
They are. Yeah, oh, they 15 are. Okay. Targets, 13 catches. I think he was 6,700. Oh, this yeah. Dude's going to be chunky.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I mean, it sure seems like he's going to be. They force fed him all night last night. I want to trust track record here, and I want to trust that like this is the plan. I feel like this is where we get, like, you know, like you said, burned because just play him in the in-between. Well, we played him for the first 2 weeks, and it was just the second week that he
Well, 13 targets in week one, 6 targets in week two, and 15 in week three. I like Fitzgerald. I mean, he's always been a guy who's converted, well, ever since he had this new role in Arizona, he's always been a guy who's converted a lot of his targets into receptions. It was, I thought, a very welcome sign to see him return to that last week, and I would be stunned if he doesn't wind up, at least in our cash games, but I think he'll have ownership greater than 50%. I really do. I mean, I think that low price, the track record beyond week two, I think that he's a guy to keep in mind. If you don't look at him at all, then you're going to be missing out on something. Maybe you don't wind up playing him for whatever reason, but definitely got to look at. Other guys that kind of returned back to being quite good. AJ Green was a chalk play. He's not sneaking up on anyone. He was 7,500 last week. Goes out there and scores 22 fantasy points. One of the highest points for dollar receivers on the week. Jumps up to 8,000, but this is still, you know, 10% or so less than we used to pay for AJ Green in the past. Is he still kind of a good cash game option for you at 8,000?
Yeah, I think he'll be chalk again. I think coming, you know, we see this time and time again where a guy, he's like an 80% starter, something like that on FanDuel. A guy like that is that high starter and he converts. People are going to be fine with the price increase just from, even from, I think it makes sense by the numbers too. So to get that out of the way also, like, I think the numbers completely make sense, but
yeah, he's just back, right? Like, he's just a real guy, and right, he's just too cheap relative to his pedigree.
Great matchup against Cleveland here, and so I think that you're just going to see the chalk plus the performance makes it so that he might just be in that same 80% range again. Like, we might even be higher, honestly, just because I think
higher.
Yeah, I think it's close. I like I said, when 80% of the people, you know, so when 80% of the people play a guy, that means like every piece of whatever was telling you to play the guy, the numbers were telling you, the narrative was working, like everything, like, so not everyone uses like numbers and analytics to figure out how they're going to play a guy on a certain day. But when 80% of the people figure it out using whatever method that they use, and then he's great, like, though I have a feeling, you know, the same analytics are going to tell you to play him, like they sure are for our system, like he's almost in every single lineup here, and then the narrative is going to tell you also, and then all the people that missed out on him are going to want to play him too. I think like all those reasons combined, you could even see it go up a little bit. You know, it goes down when the guys are bad, like, you know, Larry Fitzgerald bet down this week a little bit, although I guess he wasn't on the main slate, but just because, you know, the targets kind of disappear. That just wasn't the case. When you're chalking great, your ownership percentage tends to just kind of stick in the same area. So, yeah, no, I think he's going to be one of the more popular, maybe the most popular play in the week.
Yeah, I think so. So a couple things to look at for wide receiver. We said running back was looking very uncertain, looking real nuts. The top target guys this week are a who's who. Yep. Just like these guys could just be the starters in the Pro Bowl. Ignore Doug Baldwin because he's injured, but Larry Fitzgerald, Antonio Brown, Odell Beckham, AJ Green, Julio Jones, Mike Evans, Golden Tate. Like, not a lot of people sneaking up on you. Emmanuel Sanders did have a lot of targets, didn't turn them into a whole lot. But other than that, wide receiver is shaking out about as the preseason prognosticators would have projected, at least for last week. So, finding some sanity in wide receiver. I think you can still get some bargains. We mentioned AJ Green. It looks like any of those expensive guys that you might consider paying up for, Antonio Brown, Odell Beckham in particular, still look like reasonable deals on their big-time price points, but you might not need it. You know, you might need to you might be able to do something like a Larry Fitzgerald, AJ Green, and then pay up at running back like Ezekiel Elliott, who knows, to get some safety there. But yeah, overall, generally speaking, wide receiver looks a little bit more sane, and hopefully that will take a little bit of the pressure off in terms of trying to find, just please, if I can find two reasonable running backs for this week, that's all I ask.
We'll get more into it on Thursday, but I think that's really going to be the part where we spend the most time trying to figure it out. And that's, you know, making sure the opportunity is set for some of these guys and we understand it. And I think running back is just going to be the question. I have one quick story here before we get out of here, and then we'll go for the day. But so on Sunday, my brother-in-law Casey and I are in a bigger buy-in survivor pool where we bought four entries into this one, right? And the payout's pretty big. And so we all agreed, you know, we the reason we bought in a lot of entries was because we just didn't want to just tie ourselves to one narrative in this week. And we actually just made the mistake this week. And we're like, let's just do New England for all four, right? So New England for all four, and I'm watching this New England game. I'm like, oh my God, we're so stupid. This is the exact reason we didn't we bought more of these. Why do we put it all in? And then they win. So I'm going crazy. And then they win. Turns out that Casey forgot to call in the pick before the game started.
What?
So he was sitting, but he was also too scared to tell me. So we're watching the entire game. He's not mentioning that we don't have New England in this game. He's secretly rooting that we're about to win the entire survivor pool because New England's going to lose and everybody else had them. And we were just the dum-dums that just didn't call it in time. Then they win in the miracle touchdown. God. And then we're forced to take Green Bay because, again, we don't have any other options. No. And now we're watching it. So now he tells me, and now we're sweating out this Green Bay game. They win in overtime. So that was my fun little extra plus DFS sweat. Nice job by Casey being able to keep the secret the entire game while he secrets his sweat.
Old DFSR college guy, Casey Carruthers, getting a shout out on the podcast. All he had to do was almost totally screw you guys out of hundreds of dollars. So.
It was awesome. All right, DFSR.com/NFL will get you a free 3-day trial to our projection system powered by Lineup Lab. We will be back again on Thursday talking cash game plays, Friday for our game by game breakdown. The listenership's been going up every week on that, so we really appreciate everyone that's been coming around listening to those podcasts. We'll be back again Thursday and Friday for there. In the meantime, go back and rate and review the podcast. That always helps. It's been helping increase some of those listens as well. Buddy, talk to you again on Thursday.
Bye. I forgot you were going to talk to me again. I got distracted.
And now we're signing off. Bye.